Take your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 11. And I want to help you tonight. Did I start that?
I don't know.
You're just glad it's not you, right? Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verses 25 through 30. And really, Brother Joe Haney's not buying ice cream for everybody tonight. Wiley Watson is. Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. Let's read responsively here. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of the of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, I need you tonight. I need the attention of your people. I know it's warm in here, and we'll have to listen on purpose. I pray that we would have our attention focused on the Word of God. May my attention be focused on you, so that you can teach through me what your people need tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you tonight. I'm going to preach a sermon called How to Get or How to Stay Close to Someone. People have different views of what being close means. I may shock you tonight in what God's definition of closeness is. It's not what many of you may think it is, and how you get it is going to be much different than what you would think. But I'm going to show you what God has to say about it. And can I tell you something? And please, I mean this in love. I really don't care what you've been taught your whole life. If it goes against what God says, do what God says.
Right.
It's real simple. We've tried to show how smart we are as human beings, and we've tried to explain God. Can I tell you something? God's very capable of explaining himself. He gave us that book right there. So all we got to do is read it. You say, well, there's hidden mysteries in there. They're only hidden mysteries to people that aren't saved.
Yes.
They're not hidden. God wrote them down, and we're supposed to pay attention to them and do what God says. God's a practical God. I say it this way. God put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf and took the lid off for us all. Amen. If a five-year-old, a four-year-old can know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, that God's not that complicated. God's will is not that hard. Can I tell you something? God didn't hide his will and say, okay, now find it. And if you don't find it, I'm going to beat you over the head. Why would a God that wants us to do his will hide it from us? He made it very simple for us, and he laid it out in the Word of God. Now, I want to help you tonight on how to get or how to stay close here in Matthew chapter 11. And we're not going to take time to read the whole chapter, but Matthew chapter 11 is about John the Baptist. He was in prison. And he was soon to have his head removed from his shoulders. He was about to actually be killed because of being a foreteller, a preacher, a forerunner, an evangelist for Jesus. By the way, John the Baptist is the one that baptized Jesus. His last name was not Baptist. He was a Baptist. The Baptist church goes back far before the Catholic church. Catholic Church didn't come about until about 313 with Constantine, and the Baptist Church had been around since the days of Jesus when Jesus founded the church. The founding person that baptized Jesus was called a Baptist. That's where we got our name, just so you know. Now, the Catholics will try to tell you that Peter was the first pope, but Peter had a mother-in-law, and the pope isn't supposed to be married. If he had a mother-in-law and wasn't married, he was stupid. Man. Now, John the Baptist is in prison, and the political and the religious leaders are about to kill him. John the Baptist was biologically a cousin to Jesus. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of the story here, but two of John's assistants, two of his disciples, go to Jesus. John sends them from prison and says, go ask Jesus one more time. Make sure Jesus really is who he says he is. If I'm about to lose my life, I want to make sure he really is who he says he is. I can understand that, can't you? Humanly speaking. Now, John had been preaching about Jesus for years. John knew it. But, you know, when you're about to put your head down and they're going to stretch it out and take your head off, I think you'd want to make sure you're doing it for the right cause. And he sends two of his disciples and said, go find out, just make sure. And they go to Jesus, and Jesus assures them that he is who he says he is. And then he begins to commend John. He said about John something he said of no one else in the scripture, Matthew 11:11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Wow. How'd you like to have Jesus say that about you? Nowhere else in scripture is that said. Nowhere. About no one else. So Jesus and John were very close. Rarely, though, did you ever see them together. You know, there are only a few places in Scripture where you see John the Baptist and Jesus together. They didn't spend each moment of the day with each other. Jesus even said that they weren't together a whole lot. John was paving the way. He was out ahead of Jesus, and Jesus was following behind. And they weren't together an awful lot, though they were quite close. Now, it's obvious they were close. But how could they be close and not spend much time together? The key is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I want you to look at it again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen to these thoughts for a second. We'll come back to this. Why do children, teenagers especially, drift away from parents who long to be close with their young people? Why do spouses fuss and feud instead of drawing close with one another? Why do friends lose closeness when once they were close? I'll show you why scripturally tonight. God says that closeness is found in a yoke. How many of you know what a yoke is? All right, that's not the yellow part of an egg. All right, I could see it in Brother Gus's eyes. All right, that's a yoke, not a yoke. All right. A yoke, come on up here, the other animal. A yoke would be something that would harness two animals together from the neck and the shoulders across, two mules, two horses. I won't tell you what we are. But two oxen, two animals, and you would connect them, and you would put a harness from here around this neck and around that neck, and they would pull side by side together. They might pull plow. They might plow or pull a wagon. They may pull rocks or trees out of the way. And you would hook them together so that they would work in tandem together with one another. That's what a yoke is for. It wasn't for pleasure. It was for work. Thank you. You may sit down, animal. All right. Now, a yoke is used for work and not for play. You don't put two horses in a yoke and run a race. You won't see them running the Kentucky Derby yoked together. Say, why? Because a yoke is for work, not for play. In the closeness of work, you learn someone. Can I tell you why? In America today, our educational system stinks because you have teachers doing what I call welfare education and giving everybody all the answers instead of making young people work with the teacher. And there's no closeness to education. There's no closeness to teachers and students. There's no closeness between parents and teachers and administration, because everybody wants to show off how smart they are and give everybody the answers and teach the test instead of teaching information and the wherewithal to get the information to learn the answers. Jesus didn't say we learn of him in a seminar. He said you'll learn of me in the yoke. He said, join me in the yoke and you'll learn of me. He didn't say you need to go to a seminar. He said, you need to jump in the yoke and start working with me. He didn't say, go to a deeper life church where we'll go deep into the word of God. You learn of Jesus when you're parked in the yoke with him and you start plowing a field together. Jesus said we learn of him when we work with him. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I have people who will listen to this online that might get angry with me. They may even wreck their car or smash their computer when they hear this, but I don't give a rip. A non-soul winning church is not close to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Because you're not pulling the yoke with Jesus. A church that only talks about soul winning but doesn't go soul winning is not a close church to God. And I'm going to tell you something. They don't know that book very well. They may know some facts about that book, but they don't know the book and they don't know the author and they're not close to Jesus. You get close to Jesus by being a soul winner and by going soul winning. You get close to Jesus by doing something with him in the work. When you start getting busy doing something in the work, you'll get close to somebody. Can I tell you why parents and young people go sideways and go opposite each other? Because parents, all they want to do is play with their kids and not work with their kids. When you start learning to work with your children, you'll start getting close to your children. Everybody doing okay? That's why in the older days, and even now, farm families were closer. Say why? Because they had to work together. There was nobody else out there to be close to. You had to. City life has destroyed that closeness. You say why? Because city life has destroyed much of the work, the physical labor that was supposed to be done together as a family. Thank God my dad, we lived in town, but he worked us. I learned what it was like to spade a garden. I found out what it was like to cut wood, split wood, haul wood, stack wood. And then he got mean and made us try to split that stuff when you weren't big enough, and he put the stuff up there you couldn't split. He's out there busting oak and it's popping off, pow, 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 pow. We had this stuff, ironwood. I don't know where they got this stuff. Yeah, it came from hell. I mean, China. It was bad stuff. He grabs a hold of one of those things, and I'm up there, bounce, 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 bounce. And you couldn't even get a mark in the wood. Well, he'd push it off and say, come on. And he'd knock that thing over after it fell over. He'd pick up another one of the pieces of oak and pop, pop, pop. You know, it didn't take me real long to figure out he was switching pieces of wood. All right? He fooled me a couple times, but not that many. Now, wait a minute. He taught us how to work. And by the way, many of cold winters, I'd hear him at church talking to somebody about how high their electric bill was. And he'd say, oh, mine was only this much because me and the boys were cutting wood this year. Whew. We got credit for helping with the electric bill. I thought, yeah, I'm a kid, but I help keep the bills down. I didn't know how little that meant, but it meant something to us. Say why? We worked together. Now, we played, but we worked together more than we played together. We'd go hunting every once in a while, but I promise you, for every hour of hunting, we did 20 hours of work. I'll guarantee it. I'll guarantee it. For every hour of fishing we did, we did 100 hours of work. I mean, we just did it. Now, God says, you're going to learn, you're going to be close to somebody because you get in the yoke with them, not because you study something about them. Just because you know a lot of facts about something or someone doesn't mean you know them.
That's right.
I'm going to make a statement here. There are people in this room, you know a lot about Dr. Jack Hiles. There's a few of us that worked with him, and we were close to him. Mrs. Lopez worked on the staff there. She got to be close to Brother Hiles. Brother Stoltz worked at the college and got to be close to Brother Hiles. I was on his pastoral staff, and I was very close to Brother Hiles. Say why? Because I worked with him. I worked with him. And you get closer to someone by working with them than you do by playing with them.
Yes, sir.
Now, I got to hurry. I'm going to give you four things tonight. Yeah, I'll give you four things tonight that'll help you. Number one, closeness is the result of work, not of play. You get close by work, not by play. You are closest with the people with whom you work the most with. Many of you people are close to people you work with at work. You say, why? Because you work with them. You're close with the family members that you work with. You take an older couple, and let's say that the husband is ill and the wife is caring for him, or vice versa. And they invest day after day and hour after hour, and they put all their life into taking care of that person, and they're working together just to stay alive. When that spouse passes away, the loss is so great. Say why? Because the investment of work was there. That closeness was there. The same with a sick child, a nurse. They invest a lot of their time into people, and they take it very personally. You say, why? Because they're working closely and they're working together to try to keep that person. And there's nothing as frustrating as watching somebody give up on life when you want them to live more than they want to live. And it gets frustrating. You get close by sharing work. You don't know someone until you work with them.
That's true.
You don't know somebody till you work with somebody. I'm going to make a statement here that might shock you. I'm going to talk to you young people for a second, okay? Those of you that are not married and down, and some of you that still think boys and girls have cooties, they do. But can I tell you something? A dating relationship based on play will not last. A dating relationship based on play only is not a real relationship. You don't know them. You ought to get busy working with the person with whom you're dating. If you go to Bible college, you start working on bus routes together, start working in ministries together, and start seeing how people work together and say, Shazam, that person's got it. That little lady and I worked together in Bible clubs together on Saturdays. I watched her as she went soul winning. She and a young lady went soul winning down this side of the street. Two of the best soul winners I had went down that side of the street. She had more people saved on one block than the other two did in 3 weeks. I said, wow. Not only that, she's pretty. Then I knocked her over in the hallway. Next day she was there. I didn't knock her over that day. And the next day she was there. I didn't knock her over that day. And the third day God says, hey, stupid, ask her out. I found out my mom and dad had moved from Canton, Ohio to Toledo, Ohio, and my mom and dad were going to the church she was from. And I asked her on a date. Can I tell you how I noticed her? Working together. We worked together in the ministry. I got close to Mrs. Lopez. Can I tell you why? We worked together in the ministry when we were in college together. We worked together. I got close to Brother Stoltz. We worked together. You get close. I'm close to some of you men. You know why? Because we've worked on projects together. I don't mean this the wrong way. We didn't get real close last night at the ball game. Say why? It was too hot and everybody's too stinky. They don't want to get close to you. But we get close by working together. You get close to someone by working with them. Dating relationships based on work will generally make closer relationships and more real relationship. You don't get close by learning facts about somebody. You know, I know a lot of facts about somebody. Okay, Brother Stoltz and I and Wiley, on our drive up to Frederick last night, we were talking about General Patton. I know a lot of facts about General Patton. I've read probably about, somewhere in the ballpark of 15, 20,000 pages about General Patton. I know a lot of facts about him. Guess what? I'm not close to him because I didn't know him. I can tell you a lot of stories that are written about him. I can tell you facts about him. I can tell you some of his philosophies because I've read his philosophies. But I was not close to him. A, he died about 20 years before I was born. B, I didn't know him because I didn't work with him. But I've met people who fought in the Third Army with him that were close to him. I've interviewed a couple fellas that actually fought shoulder to shoulder with Patton. And they knew him. Boy, you talk about listening to somebody that could talk about Patton. They worked with him. They fought shoulder to shoulder with him. I met a fella, I think it was in South Carolina. I don't remember which state. But he said, yeah, I was in the Third Army with Patton. I said, I need to come see you. I sat down, started talking to him. He said, one day we got pinned down. He said, I got hit in the arm. He said, Patton reached over, grabbed my rifle and said, that's okay, I'll take care of him, son. Pow! He said, he shot the guy that shot me. He said, then he hollered for the medic. He said, it's okay, son, I took care of him for you. He said, that's kind of general he was. I love that. I love that. Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. You don't get close by sitting and learning facts about somebody. You get close by working with them. I'm going to make a statement. You don't get close to God by learning a bunch of facts about God. You get close to God by working with God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm for reading your Bible. But if all you do is read your Bible and don't do anything with what you do know, you're not going to know God. You'll know facts about God, but you won't know him personally. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Just because you pray and talk to God doesn't mean you know God. I'm for reading your Bible. I'm for praying. But there's another side to it. God didn't tell you to read the Bible just to know the Bible, just to fill your head with facts. He said, fill your head with facts so that you can learn to work with me and go out and use that and help him and help her and help her and help her and help him and help him and really work on helping her. And then you try to help him and then help. Well, there's no hope for Joe. And you go, you know, God didn't tell you to learn the Bible just to learn the Bible. God told you to learn the Bible so that you could go teach 4th through 6th grade Sunday school class. And so you could teach 1st through 3rd grade Sunday school class. And so you could interpret to the deaf lady that comes and talk her hands off. So that you could help greet at the door. And so that some of you could help in other areas right now and work in the nursery, praise God. So that everybody else can hear the preaching of the Word of God. And may I say this, we're not supposed to learn the Bible just to learn the Bible. We're supposed to learn it so that we can get closer to God, do the work of God, so that we can learn Him better by being joined in the yoke together with God. The best way to get to know somebody is to work with them. Soul winning, teaching, helping others is you doing the work with God, not just work for God. When I stood here yesterday and preached a memorial service, I was working together with God. Can I tell you something? I felt very close to God while I was doing it. Man, we had a time. And I don't mean this unkindly. That was a bit rough crowd. They were very unchurched. They had never been to a funeral, in my opinion, of the right kind. I had to kind of coach them through what a funeral was supposed to be. It wasn't going to be grievous and weeping and wailing and howling. We're going to sing and rejoice and thank God a little while. And by the time we were done, it was a little bit, they didn't know what happened. I got up, prayed, got done, I said, you're dismissed. I walked out. Brother Stoltz followed me out. Everybody sat here. And it was almost 5 minutes till people started getting up and moving. I mean, it was awkward. But can I tell you something? While I was preaching, God was there. 9 people raised their hand and got saved yesterday. I got to a ball game last night. We were talking about it on the way to the ball game. Got to the ball game. Brother Mike says, preacher, you helped me with that sermon today. He said, you helped me with something with that. And I was rejoicing. You say, why? Because I was working together with God on that thing. I had fun preaching this morning. Some of you didn't have as much fun as I had, but I've been working together with God on this thing. I love preaching. Can I tell you why? Because I'm working with God on it. It means something. It's not just a factual. I'm not going to flip my outline on the wall or on a screen somewhere so that you can write down some pretty outline and say, look what I know about God. I know God because I know this fact. No, you don't know God till you worked with him. Boy, that's a good statement. Modernist churches produce people who know much about God, but they don't know God. Modern Christianity knows a lot of facts about God, but they don't know God. Modernist churches say you can't do what you're doing with that group of people in that little building, but we know God. Look what's happening. Yes. And it happens week after week, service after service. God's touching. You say why? Because we're working together with God. Pleasure, listen to this. Pleasure and playing often involves competition. When you compete with somebody, listen to this. When you compete with somebody, you're actually going in opposite directions. You're not working with somebody, you're working against them. If I'm going to play, let's see here. If I'm going to play Uno with Brother Stoltz, either you're going to win or I'm going to win. One of us is going to, yeah. And I'll cheat. I mean, I'll make sure I win. Can I tell you something? Though we may enjoy our time together, we're not getting closer because we're competing. We're trying to outdo the other person. Play often is competition, which means you're actually going in opposite directions. You're not working together. When you work together, you get in the yoke and you say, let's pull. And we start pulling together. If we're playing Uno, turn this way. This way. Good help's hard to find. He's going this way, I'm going that way, and we're competing against one another, and we're going opposite directions. We're not getting close. Now, we might be meeting in the middle, but we're not close because we're trying to get through the other guy. Do you all see what I'm saying here? So, competition actually causes people to pull away. A yoke causes you to pull together and get closer. I'm not against you playing with your children. I'm not against you playing with your teenagers, but we got too many teenagers that want to play and not work. We got too many parents that want to play with their teenager to be close instead of work with their teenager to be close. Everybody doing all right? Okay. A yoke keeps you in harmony. Competition makes disharmony. How many times have you played a game with somebody and somebody got upset? Everybody doing all right? Okay. Number two, if you're not close to someone, it's because you're not carrying somebody else's yoke. If you're not close to someone, or they're not close to you, it's because they're not pulling in the same yoke. Personality does not make closeness. Work does. Being in the same room together does not make you close. Pulling in the same yoke makes you close. I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 29. Take my yoke upon you. He said, if you want to get close to me, take my yoke on you and learn of me, and we'll pull together. There's a lot of people that say, well, I'm going to take my burden to Jesus, and I'm going to lay it at his feet, and I'm going to walk away. Well, I'm glad you took your burden to Jesus, and I'm glad you left it there, but it's still there because Jesus said, get in the yoke if you want it carried. He said, I'll help you carry it, but I'm not carrying the whole load. He said, you got to get in the yoke, and I'll pull it with you. I'll go through it with you, but don't just bring it and drop it at my feet and turn around and leave. You get close to someone by getting in the yoke. Fellowship does not build closeness. Work does. going and eating McDonald's doesn't make you close. Working does. Learning to eat hamburgers at the McDonald's doesn't make you close. It may bring you to a point where you'll talk with one another, but the closeness comes when you start working with somebody. This church is close because of soul winning and all the work that we do to bring visitors to this church. The people in this church that have invested your time in soul winning, your time in teaching, your time in greeting, your time in inviting people to church, your money for the process of building a building, this church is close. Can I tell you why? We're working together. I got to tell this story. I'm not going to tell you who, not going to tell you what. But we've got a family that's real. They've been coming regularly. They asked somebody today, can I have one of those envelopes, put our tithe in? We haven't joined church yet, but can I give a tithe? No. I don't say that because I want their money. I say that because for too long, they're going to join this church. Say why? They want to start investing in it. And when you start wanting to be a part of the work, guess what? You'll start being close to everybody. After church, I found out that very family started getting close to several different people in this church. You say, why? Because they jumped into the work together. They started into the yoke. Boy, isn't that exciting. You know, wanting, I'm going to make a statement here. Think with me. Wanting to be with somebody is selfish. Wanting to help them in the work is unselfish. If all I want to do is spend time with my wife, that's selfish because that's something I want. But if I say, honey, we got a big job ahead of us, let's work together on this. She's got a big project, and I say, I'll go to work early, I'll get off a little bit early, I'll come home, and I'll help you with it. Oh, no, that's okay. I can get it. No, I want to be close to her. I'll jump and pull the yoke. Guess what? We get closer because we work together, not because we play together. Say, why? Because I get tired of beating her at everything. No, I'm teasing. She lets me win. No, I didn't do that with my kids, but she lets me win so that I could be a good husband. Wanting to be with someone is selfish, but wanting to help in the yoke is not. I am close to many of you. Can I tell you why? Because I've helped pull the yoke with you, not just because I want to spend time with you. I'll help you through the problems. We'll be at the hospital together. We're at doctors together. We're working counseling together. We're going through this problem together. We'll go through this problem together. Say, what is it? We're jumping in the yoke together and I'm pulling with you. And all of a sudden we start getting close. It's not because we're spending the time together. It's because we're shoulder to shoulder pulling the load the same direction. We're in the same yoke. And that's what it's all about. I was able to grieve with Larry and Sherry because I was trying to carry the load, not because I wanted to feel something. I've wanted to help Rhonda, and we've jumped in the yoke to help Rhonda carry the load in the homegoing of Ray. Not so I can say, oh, I feel close to Rhonda. No, in the process of helping to carry the yoke, guess what? We're getting closer. Isn't that what it's all about? I better go on. I got to hurry. Number three, closeness is not found in wanting to keep the enjoyment of closeness. If your whole goal is wanting to keep the enjoyment of being close, you're missing the mark. I love my daughter. I enjoy being with her. But I'm not about to let her stay home and not go back to college. I'm going to help her pull the load. She needs to know God's will for her life as much as her mother and I have had God's will for our life for the last 27 years together. I want her to learn how to carry the load. Now, if she'll stop and slow down every once in a while and ask for advice, I can help her pull it. But eventually, man, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but eventually I'm going to have to unharness and hook the yoke to some other dude's neck. I'm going to choke him when I do it. Yeah, buddy. You got to stand in line. We'll all take a shot. Amen.
But can I tell you something? That day will come. You say, are you going to be sad? No, I'll be happy. I've helped pull the yoke to get her to the place where she and someone else can pull it together, and they'll be close. But guess what? Because we've pulled the yoke together, we'll still be close.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to stay close to her by having the same close feelings. I'm trying to stay close to her by helping to pull the load. I'm close to my boys. Can I tell you why? They're pulling their load. I'm pulling my load. We pulled the load together for a while. Now we call each other on how to help pull the load together. Texted my son Jeff today. I said, Jeff, we had so many visitors and this many people saved. He said, Dad, he said, we just started this route up in Georgetown. He said, we had 12 on the van, one visitor today. Bless God. He's pulling the yoke.
Yes.
We're close. I get to see him a few times a year. That's it. But we're close. I don't long for that close, ooey-gooey feeling all the time. But we're close because we're pulling the same load. I'm close to Josh and Ruth Ann, not because we're close in proximity, but because we're pulling the load. Would I like to spend more time with them? Of course I would. But guess what? I'd rather them be in God's will, just like I'm in God's will. Guess what? Because of that, because we're in God's will together, we're pulling the load together, and we're closer because of that than we would be if we lived in the same town with one another.
Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. Quit looking for the closeness. Look at trying to stay in the yoke. Some of you are looking to be close to your child. No, don't look to be close to your child. Look to stay in the yoke with your child. Learn to pull the load with your child. Immaturity checks on closeness. Maturity makes sure you're staying in the yoke.
I taught my daughter before. As we were driving to college last year, she's grinning because she knows what's coming. I said, girl, I'm going to teach you something about Bible college. It is a soap opera. The drama is moment by moment. You have so many young people there, dating just starts happening. Poof. I said, and the drama from class hour to class hour is amazing. Oh, he didn't talk to me between classes. He must not like me anymore. And I said, it's going to get stomach churning, I promise you. I said, it happens with the guys as much as it happens with the girls. I said, you don't need to watch as the stomach churns. Bible college is a soap opera in and of itself, I promise you. And I said, the more people try to check on their relationship to see how close they are, the weaker the relationship. We were talking this summer, and she said, Dad, by the way, it's raining. It's okay. Hopefully your windows are down, up, not down.
All right? But, and if they're down, it's too late. All right? Now, look at me, if you will. You're just going to be uncomfortable on the ride home. She was telling me of a situation, a couple that she knew. They were on, they were off. 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 Can I tell you why? They're checking on their closeness and not pulling the yoke together. When you get in the yoke and start pulling the yoke together, you don't judge to see how close you are because you're close because you're working together. You're not checking on how close you are. If you're so worried about how close you are to somebody, you're not pulling the yoke. Get in the yoke and pull the yoke.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I wonder how close I am to my child. Well, jump in the yoke and find out. Everybody doing all right? Jealousy is caused by constantly checking on the closeness and not staying in the yoke. Playing together too much destroys closeness. Working together causes closeness. If I played with you men all the time, we wouldn't be close. Now, I may play with some of you. I mean, Brother Barnes and I, we went, and his wife and I went to a ball game recently. By the way, that was work. It was 100 and some degrees outside. But we went to a ball game together. Great. But Brother Barnes and I, we've cut more wood than two human beings ought to cut together. But we're close. I mean this, and I don't say this apologetically, and I don't say this critically. I'm closer to him than I am my brother. not because I hate my brother, but he and I share a common yoke. Now, my brother and I share some yokes too, but from a greater distance, and it's not the same kind of work. We share the yoke of my mom and dad, and when mom had her surgeries and fell and broke her leg last year, and she was down in Florida, my brother and I shared the yoke together on that. Y'all see what I'm saying? But I share a yoke with him all the time. We work together. He was gone this last week. I mean this. I missed him. I did. Say, why? I don't know. He's ugly. And I ain't never met a good-looking man yet, praise the Lord. But may I say this? Ooh, and the sun's still shining. Don't worry. That's what's funny. But we work together. Working with your children more than playing will create closeness. Playing too much. Now, I'm not saying treat them like slaves, just so you know. But mamas, you ought to teach them children from the time they can walk, they have jobs to do. They ought to be dragging their clothes to the wash machine or to the laundry basket. They ought to be picking up their toys. They ought to be doing things with you. Get down on the floor and teach them how to work more than play. I think play for a child up to about the age of 3 or so is work. But by the time they start getting that 3-year-old age, they ought to start learning to do some work as well as play. And the older they get, the more work they do. Boy, that's a good statement. Work with your teenagers more than play. Can I tell you something? I'm for having youth activities, but I'm also for teaching our teenagers to go out and go soul winning more than I am playing at a youth activity. If they'll start soul winning together, they'll stay together and they'll be closer than they will having a youth activity 50 weeks a year. And I do know what I'm talking about here. Number 4, and I'm done. Closeness is caused by the emotional enjoyment of carrying the same yoke, not by trying to be close. Stay busy carrying the same yoke, and closeness happens. And I mean this in every sense of propriety. Mrs. Barnes and I are close. She's like a younger sister to me. Not much younger. No. Can I tell you why? She's helped me carry a yoke. Now, always appropriate. Always appropriate. But there's a closeness there. Can I tell you why? We carry the yoke together. We work. She's the only employee I got right now. Someday we'll hire somebody else. Can I tell you what? I'll be close to my assistant pastors, not because we'll play with them, but because we'll work together. You know, I never played one time with Dr. Jack Hiles, but I was close to him. Our closeness was working together. If you ever sat in a staff meeting with Brother Hiles, you felt close to him. He'd cut up and joke and sarcasm and everything else, but it was work. There was a little play mixed in with the work, but we didn't go to ball games together. We didn't go bowling together. We didn't go fishing and hunting together. He didn't hire me to be his hunting buddy. He hired me to work. And in our work, we got close. Boy, that's a good statement. Stay busy carrying the same yoke, and you don't have to be jealous of someone's affection because you're not trying to get their affection. You're trying to carry the yoke. Some of you get upset because you invest your emotion in somebody and you're trying to get close to them emotionally and they don't get close emotionally back to you and you wonder why the closeness is not there. Can I tell you why? Because you're not pulling the yoke. You're just trying to get close. Quit worrying about the emotion that's involved and start carrying the yoke together. Boy, that's a good statement. I'm close to friends, but I'm close to friends that I don't even see, but maybe once a year, if that. Okay. I'm close to Pastor Rick Walters up in Winthrop, Maine. You know the last time I saw Brother Walters? When he took Ricky to school and we took Mindy to school last August. It's the last time I saw him. I saw Brother Gelhausen at graduation, and he stopped by our old building. I've seen him twice in the last 3 years, but I'm close to Brother Gelhausen. I'm close to Brother Kevin Arcola. You won't believe this.
I saw Brother Arcola when they dropped Katie off at college, and I saw him when we worked on his building, and I'm not sure I've seen Brother Arcola since. That's not true. We went up to a preaching service when Brother Fugit and Brother Justin Cooper were there. I've seen him three times in the last year, but I'm close to him. I'm not worried about how close I am to him. We're pulling the load together. Do you know I talk to every one of those fellas every week of my life, either by text or something, because we're constantly working together trying to help each other pull the load. I feel very close to my son's in-laws, Brother Provost. I prayed for Josh's wife for 23 years before I ever knew who she was. I ask God for all of my children's spouses. When I finally meet who the people are that reared the children to whom my son or my daughter will get married to, can I tell you what? There's going to be closeness there. You say, why? Because we've been carrying the load together for a long time. When my... You're not going to believe this. Do you know when I met my son's in-laws? The day before they got married? My wife will tell you. We met them a day or two before the kids got married. And we're close. And it's not just because our kids got married. They had been praying for 20 years. We had been praying for 23 years for God to take care of the spouses of our children and help the families that were raising those kids. Guess what? We had prayed for each other for 20-some years. Guess what? For the next 20-some years, we plan on staying close. We share the work together. You know, before we bought that bus, I called Brother Provost because he's the bus director down there. I wanted his opinion. I called Brother Arcola because he deals in buses a lot. I talked to some of these preachers about that bus to make sure it was the right one before we got into this thing. Boy, that's a good statement. I got to hurry. Whew. I hate that clock. Marriages where the couple share the yoke have a closeness. Marriages who only play and want to be close are not close. When you start sharing a yoke together, you start getting close. If you just want to be close, guess what? Eventually, you're not going to be close. Again, this is why in the older days, in the farm days, and in the country area, people generally are closer to one another because they have to share the work together. If Dad went down, everybody had to jump in and do the work. If Mama went down, everybody had to step up and do the work. And if harvest time came, everybody had to jump in, whether it was their work or not, because that's how they lived. You just jumped in and did it. When it come hay baling time, everybody threw hay. You say, why? Because that's what it was. And you got close by working with one another. Children who work with their parents when they're young people stay close to their parents generally as they grow older and become adults. Jesus said we get close by sharing a yoke. Sharing a yoke requires closeness. Did you know you can't work together and not be close? Because if you get in a yoke with somebody, you can't get away from them. There's no way for two animals to plow together without being close. There's no way for two people to work together and not be close. Brother Mike said something very kind to me before church about a relationship that has been built and nurtured over a period of time. Can I tell you why? It got closer because you worked together. It happened because of working together, not by wanting to be close. The closeness happened as a result of working together. You didn't know that was an illustration, but it was perfect. It was perfect. You didn't know why I was grinning so big. You thought it was because of what it was about. No, it was because it was right there. Did you know you hook two oxen together? You smell like one. You know, you hook these together. You can't hook them together this way. And me pull that way and you pull this way. We're going to go in circles. You're not going to go anywhere and get anything done. You don't hook two animals going up in opposite directions. You get the work done by going in the same direction. Thank you. The yoke is what makes you close. Not wanting to be close does not make you close. Wanting to be close to somebody is not a bad thing, but can I tell you how you do it? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you,
Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, you want to learn of me? Jump in the yoke. You want to get close to me? Jump in the yoke. You want to get close to somebody? Jump in the yoke. That is how you get close to somebody. You don't get close to somebody by saying, okay, I want to get close to Mrs. Bush, so I'm going to get close to her. No, you get close to somebody by working with them. I didn't say I wanted to get close to Fred Skaggs, but I jumped in the yoke with him, and we got close. We got close. Say why? Because I decided I was going to jump in the yoke with him and pull with him. Now, he was stubborn old mule. He didn't want anybody in the yoke with him, but guess what? He met somebody who got in the yoke whether he wanted it or not. And we started pulling together. And we got close. He got close to somebody he didn't even want to get close to. You say, why? Because we started pulling in the yoke together. I wasn't worried about how close. I was worried about pulling the yoke. I want to make sure he pulled the yoke all the way to the finish line in heaven and not end up in hell. Then I had to try to help him pull the yoke to get well. He was supposed to have been dead 8 months ago. He wasn't supposed to live to his anniversary. Well, their anniversary was Friday. We did their vows in March, April, because we weren't sure he was going to live to August. That's why we changed the date. We were originally going to do it this last weekend. They said he wasn't going to live that long. Say, what happened? We all got in the yoke and started pulling with him. As rough as he is, he'll probably outlast me. It's okay. We didn't jump into this thing together to get close, Fred. But us pulling the yoke together, we got close. That's what it's all about. Quit worried about how close you are to somebody. Decide to get in the yoke. Can I tell you something? Get in the yoke with Jesus. You want to get close to God? Start working with him. Learn of him while you work. If you only learn about him, you're not close to him. Learn that. Go out and take it to somebody else and teach it to them. Invite somebody to church and bring them to church with you. Get involved in the work of the Lord a little bit, and all of a sudden, you'll start feeling closer and closer to him. You start praying for somebody else and you get in the yoke and watch God answer prayer for somebody else that you've prayed hard for. You got in the yoke with them. All of a sudden, you start feeling closer to God. Wow. Just get in the yoke. I'm not against play. God knows I'm not against play. I'm for it. I think there's a place for it, but I think it's way overrated. You're not going to get close by playing and fellowshipping and eating pizza and hot dogs and hamburgers and ice cream. You're going to get close by working together. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you are disappointed in relationships in your life because you want them close, but you've sought closeness the wrong way. You'll get close by working, not by playing.